time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Ooh, things just got a little spooky for a band in Manitoba.
I'm chilled to the bone.
He's gone. Ghost White, ladies and gentlemen. Why so spooky today, Gordon? Tell us.
Well, just a reminder that last week I talked about videos on Manitoba history that we've been making. And when a video is uploaded to YouTube, I'm always curious to see how many views it gets. You know, just how popular a subject it is. And one of our most popular videos was about the town of Pope, a ghostly town in western Manitoba that has absolutely no connections to the leader of the Catholic Church. But this week, we're going to talk about some more ghost towns that have a special connection to, wait for it, Manitoba premiers.
All right, hence the spooky music. So how many ghost towns are there in Manitoba?
I don't think anyone really knows. You know, it really does hinge on the definition of a ghost town. I thought I would put together a list. I started listing all the communities that I thought might qualify, but I stopped at 100, having covered only a very small part of the province. You know, clearly, the number of small communities is very large, and most, if not all of them, are smaller than they used to be. Personally, I think we have to set some parameters on what we would consider a ghost town. In my view, it should be a place that has a small human population. In other words, not nobody necessarily, but a small one, and which once offered a fairly wide range of services that it no longer does. So, for example, my maternal grandparents farmed near a community called Stephenfield. You ever heard of it?
No.
Well, I'm not surprised either, because at one time, well, all it really consisted of, the bustling metropolis of Stephenfield, a general store with a post office, and a grain elevator. Now, they're both gone, and the only thing left in Stephenfield now is a house that used to be the store. And I suppose we could call Stephenfield a ghost town, but there's others that I think wouldn't be so clear-cut.
Why do ghost towns exist?
For the most part, I think that ghost towns exist for the same three reasons that towns, at least in southern Manitoba, existed in the first place. Those three reasons are the Canadian Pacific Railway, the Canadian Northern Railway, and the Great Northern Railway. In other words, they are creatures of railways. The vast majority of Manitoba towns were created by railways, and so when the railway lines are abandoned, as so many of them have been in the past few decades, the towns associated with them wither and die. You know, some people might continue to reside in those towns for any number of reasons, but the key indicator to me is, does the town have economic activity as illustrated by businesses? You know, so for example, I recently visited the village of Sinclair in southwestern Manitoba. Its grain elevator was badly damaged in a recent windstorm, and I wanted to get some photos. What struck me about Sinclair was that although the grain elevator will likely be torn down, much to my regret, the village still has a grocery store, a car repair shop, and a business that manufactures plastic items for farmers. So long as those businesses remain open, Sinclair will not be a ghost town in my estimation.
Now, we could probably talk for days about the various ghost towns around Manitoba, but you said that you were going to focus specifically on ones connected to Manitoba premiers.
Right. You know, and I suspect the founders of some new towns thought that by naming their town after a prominent politician might stroke that person's ego enough that benefits would flow. You know, they'd get some kind of perks they wouldn't have got otherwise. And clearly, in the case of these towns, that wasn't the case. You know, we have two ghost towns in Manitoba named for provincial premiers, the towns of Greenway and Norquay.
All right, so let's talk about them, starting off with Greenway.
Well, it's located along Highway 23 between Mariapolis and Balder. Greenway was founded in 1890 with the arrival of the Canadian Northern Railway, today's Canadian National. So in other words, it was a creation of the railway. Its post office operated from 1891 to 1971, but it was named, the original town was named for Thomas Greenway, the MLA for that region from 1879 to 1904, and he was the premier of Manitoba at the time that the town was founded. It was, again, founded in 1890. He was the premier from 1888 to 1900. So I think, say, they really were trying to flatter him. But the town was never really a big thing, and with the closure of its grain elevator in 1971, I think its fate as a ghost town was sealed. Now, there are still a couple of houses in Greenway, so there might be a couple of people incensed at me calling their town a ghost town, but that's pretty much it. There's an abandoned one-room schoolhouse. And in fact, there is a kind of an interesting noteworthy building in Greenway that, as far as I know, isn't occupied. A two-story wooden building that was once a general store operated by two generations of the Craik family. Now, a grandson of the store's founder, Donald Craik, spent his childhood at Greenway, and he was the MLA for the area from 1966 to 1981. He held several ministerial portfolios, and in fact, he was a deputy premier for a while. So the town of Greenway has two connections to the premiership.
Okay, so that was Greenway. The other political ghost town you mentioned was Norquay, right?
Norquay, yes. And it is truly a ghost town. Nobody, I think, would dispute. Located 5 miles north of Swan River, it was founded around 1880, named for John Norquay, premier from 1878 to 1887. So again, the town was founded while he was in office. And at its peak, Norquay had a general store and post office, a butcher shop, a grist mill, and a school. Now, so it had all the trappings of a, you know, thriving town. And I suspect the town's founders hoped that the premier, with whom they were friends apparently, would be sufficiently impressed that he had a town named after him, that he would steer a railway towards the site. Because they actually didn't build it because of the railway. They built it in anticipation. The idea being is that if they bought land and then the railway went through, that land went way up in value. Well, unfortunately, their gamble did not pay off. The Canadian Pacific built a line 8 miles north of Norquay, and the CN built one 4 miles south of Norquay, but none of them built it to Norquay. And therefore, it very quickly withered and died. The buildings were either moved to towns with more prosperous prospects, or they were dismantled. Now, interestingly, Norquay's post office hung on until 1905, so I guess just because there were enough farmers living in the area that it made sense to keep it. But today, the only reminder of Norquay's existence is a small, overgrown cemetery surrounded by a low fence that contains 5 headstones. So there we have it. We have Greenway and Norquay, but there is actually a third ghost town named for a Manitoba premier, but there's a catch.
Ooh, what's the catch?
Well, it's not in Manitoba. Now, it seems a little odd that anyone would name a town elsewhere after a Manitoba premier, but in Saskatchewan, in the southwest, near Grasslands National Park, we have the town of Bracken. Founded in 1926, Bracken was named for John Bracken, who was Manitoba premier at the time. And I can't say for a fact that Bracken is completely a ghost town, but judging from what I can see of it using Google Street View, well, again, I hope I don't embarrass the good folks of Bracken too much. It's not a thriving place. And so I think it does meet my definition of a ghost town.
Now, based on those examples, Gordon, it seems like naming a town for a premier was like a bit of a bad omen. Was that the case?
Well, no, I would say not necessarily. Of course, we do have the town of Roblin, which is still doing pretty well, I think. It was named not after Premier Duff Roblin, as some people sometimes think, but for his grandfather, Rodmond Roblin, who was premier from 1900 to 1915. There are a couple of other towns where people might think that they were named for a premier, but they weren't. The village of Garson is not named for Premier Stuart Garson, but for his father, William Garson, who founded the limestone quarries there. So it was just incidental that he happened to be a premier, although he was from Garson. And the village of McDonald has lost its school, its church, its businesses, but it's essentially a bedroom community of Portage-la-Prairie. It really doesn't commemorate a Manitoba premier. There is a premier named McDonald, Hugh John McDonald, who was the premier for a single year, 1900. But the village of McDonald is actually named for his father, Canadian Prime Minister John A. McDonald. So I don't think McDonald really qualifies, either of them, in fact, Garson or McDonald, qualify as ghost towns.
Are there any other abandoned Manitoba places named for premiers?
There is one. It's a former municipality in Manitoba named for a premier, the rural municipality of Harrison. Incorporated in 1883 and named for MLA David H. Harrison, who didn't become premier for another 4 years. So it could be argued they didn't name the municipality hoping for favors from the premier. But nevertheless, there was a municipality named for Harrison. And in a sense, it is abandoned in a way because the municipality was merged in 2015 to become Harrison Park. So the rural municipality of Harrison as a corporate entity no longer exists. So you could argue the case there. So there we go.
Gordon, thank you for this spooky edition of Abandoned Manitoba. What's up for next week?
Well, we have in our province the oldest incorporated firm in North America, the Hudson's Bay Company, established 354 years ago. Just mind-boggling. Other businesses here don't have quite so long a period of operation, but there have been numerous local firms that have existed nearly as long as the province of Manitoba. So next week, we're going to talk about some of these long-lived Manitoba businesses.
Thanks so much, Gordon. See you next week.
Bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.